We come before you and we thank you again for another day that you've given us, God. And Lord, even though we don't think about it, we thank you for waking us up in our right minds. I mean, we could be freaking out like so many people are today with what we see happening in our world. And I think the message this morning is what we needed to hear today. And it's out of Ephesians 5, verse 7 to 17. And I've titled it, Walk in Wisdom. Walk in Wisdom. So Lord, I pray your blessing on it. Go before us. Teach us what you'd have us to learn this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's go ahead and begin right away with verse number 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So Paul is telling us to walk as children of light. Now he's not saying that we were in the darkness, but that we were darkness. Now that we're saved, now that we're born again believers, what type of communion can we as light possibly have with darkness, with those who aren't saved? Biblically speaking, as far as spiritual things are concerned, light will always produce fruit. It will always produce fruit. But the works of darkness will be unfruitful. Now I want you to notice what Paul the Apostle is saying here. He says, For the fruit of the Spirit, or the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So what's that talking about? Well, let me say this. It is totally possible, or impossible rather, to be in darkness and light at the same time. You can't do it. You can't walk the middle of the road. Light will always produce goodness, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I mean, goodness is what we call love in action. Love in action. Righteousness means rightness of character before God and rightness of actions before men. So both of these qualities are based on truth, which is conformity to the Word of God and God's will. The Word of God and God's will. I mean, Jesus had to say a lot about light and darkness. In Matthew 5:16, he said, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and notice, glorify your Father in heaven. He said in John 3, verse 20-21, For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So to walk as children of light means to live before the eyes of God, knowing that nothing is hidden, that God sees everything. It's easy to hide things from other people. I'm sure everyone on this line would agree with me, because they can't see our hearts and minds. But Hebrews 4:13 warns us, And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. I could fool you. I could pull the wool over your eyes real easy. I mean, for most of you, I'm at least one state away or more. You don't know what I do, but God does. And he's the one I will stand before, as we all will, at the bema seat of Christ. When it all goes through the fire, every one of us are going to be there and see. An author asked Charles Spurgeon for permission to write his life story. Spurgeon replied, "You may write my life in the skies. I have nothing to hide." I like that, man. I have nothing to hide. What you see is what you get. But the other side of walking as children of light means revealing God's light in our daily lives. By our character and conduct, we bring God's light into a dark world. And it's as we help others find their way to Christ. I mean, I'm always wearing these t-shirts. I got a black t-shirt on right now. On the back, it's a big cross. And it says, "All I need today is a little bit of Harley Davidson and a whole lot of Jesus." And I love it, you know, because it's a witness. It breaks it down, and it doesn't get too radical to where I can't open up the door to share the gospel of Christ with somebody. Who knows what God's going to do today? The mind of the unsaved person, we know, is blinded by Satan. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 4, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Now, their minds aren't only blinded by Satan, their minds are also blinded by sin. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 17 and 19, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." You see, light reveals God. Light produces fruit. But light also exposes what is wrong. It's light that will reveal the truth, and it will expose the true character of things. That's what the light will do. That's why those who aren't saved don't want to go to church. That's why they don't read the Bible on a daily basis, because it exposes them and they know who they are. We know who we are. They don't want to be told what they already know in their hearts. I've counseled that for years, 4+ decades, as a matter of fact. You know, as we walk in light, we refuse to fellowship with the darkness, and we expose the dark things of sin for what they really are. I will hang out with anybody. But if they're not going to respect me and who I am as a Christian, you know what? I won't hang out with them no more. I have enough friends. I have enough Christian friends. Iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. That's what fellowship does. That's what we're doing here. We're sharpening each other. So as we walk in the light, we refuse to fellowship with the darkness. And we have to expose those things, the things of sin, for what they really are. We have to. Didn't Jesus say in John 12:46, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness"? I had to make a choice when I gave my life to Christ. Am I going to still do those things that I did after I give my life to him? I couldn't do it. I had to come 100% or I wasn't going to come at all. It's just the way I am. Everything I do 100% or I don't do it. Jesus also said to his disciples in Matthew 5, verse 14, 16. You ready for this? Speaking about us too. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, the perfection of his character and the conduct exposed the sinfulness of those around him. I mean, this is one reason why the religious leaders hated him. This is why they wanted to destroy him. They couldn't hang with him. They couldn't be around him. Jesus told these religious leaders in John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now, they have no excuse for their sin. You see how damaging that could be if we continue in sin? Or if we're being disobedient to God? Guys, we get angry at times. We get upset at times. We get frustrated. And at times, we just shut down. We just shut down. Well, who's our example? Our perfect example is Jesus Christ. We're here to be a light to everybody. Sometimes that means, well, probably many times it means eating crow. You ever had to eat crow before? Something we don't like to do, but we have to do it for the sake of Christ. Here's the point. Paul's trying to say that the Christian exposes the darkness and sin around him just by living like a Christian. Just by living like who you now are in Christ. As believers, we have to live a balanced life. That means to walk in the light and at the same time, expose the wickedness of those in the darkness. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say, me and Steph, you know, we do have times where we argue. We do have times when we're at odds. I mean, we've been married for 46 plus years. I knew her for 4 years before that. But I have learned to just shut your mouth, Rick, and let it go. And you know what? It brings peace. For years, I never did that. Oh, I'd be throwing stuff. Yeah, I'd be sticking in the wall. I'd be breaking stuff, glass windows and that, because I had a severe attitude when I got mad. The key is while we are doing what we need to be doing as a Christian, we need to be bearing fruit. Remember that. Notice the caution here in verse 12. It can be dangerous when it comes to exposing the things of darkness. Why? Because we can unconsciously be advertising and promoting sin. Paul said it is shameful even to speak of those things. So we need to be careful. I mean, it's easy to get crass, isn't it? Say something that's crass. It's easy to do that. I mean, it just comes naturally because we got this sinful nature. But it's shameful to speak of those things. When we share with others, we don't make our past sins sound good so that it whets their appetite and causes them to want to try it for themselves. We don't do that. Paul wrote to the church in Romans, said in Romans 16:19, for your obedience has become known to all. Notice that. Notice the lifestyle these Christians were living. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. And do this, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. Boy, if there was ever a time, It's right now in the latter of the last generation. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The picture here is that of Easter morning, when Christ arose from the dead. It was the dawning of a new day for the world. I mean, we as Christians aren't sleeping in sin and death because we have been raised from the dead through faith in Christ. Salvation is the beginning of a new day. So we need to be living as those who belong to the light so we can associate with the light and not be in darkness. You know, Colossians 1 verses 12, 14, I love this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Somebody needs to mute their phone. I hear rattling and stuff. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Last time, last Tuesday, Paul challenged us to walk in love. Challenged us to walk as children of light. And now comes the third part of that challenge. He tells us to walk in wisdom. This is what I've been getting to. Verses 15 to 17. The word circumspect, it comes from two Latin words which mean looking around. Looking around. The meaning from the Greek word is translated as precision and accuracy. He's actually saying, see that you walk carefully with exactness. That's radical. Now, the opposite would be walking carelessly without the right guidance, not really praying things through. This life that we have as Christians, guys, we just can't leave to chance. We can't leave it to chance. I mean, we could hope for things, but it's not going to happen unless it's God's will. We need to make wise decisions. We have to seek to do the will of God. Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 28 to 31, he said, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, he wasn't able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Wisdom. Walking in wisdom. As Christians, we need to be wise. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to seek his wisdom. We need to seek his will. We need to seek his timing in matters that we may be praying about. It's too easy to step out of God's will. I'm sure everyone that's listening to this teaching will say amen. It is. It's easy to not wait on the Lord, to not seek his wisdom, his will, his timing, in matters that we may be praying about. It's too easy to step out and to take matters into our own hands. We've done it. Every one of us have done it. I see people do it all the time because they will not wait on God and his timing to open the doors. We want to kick doors down. Well, that's what I did BC, before Christ. I kicked doors down. But I can't do that no more. I'll knock on them. But I got to pray and seek the Lord. So Paul gives us five reasons why we should be accurate and careful in our walk as we wait on God to receive instruction from Him as to what to do and when to do it. First of all, it's a mark of wisdom. Waiting and praying because only a fool drifts with the wind and tide. A wise man marks out his course. He sets his sails. He guides the rudder until he reaches his destination. That's a wise man. When a man wants to build a house, he first draws up his plans so he knows what he's doing. Not many Christians take the time to sit down and plan out their days so that they might use their opportunities wisely. James 4, verse 13 to 17. If you plan your life and you wait on the Lord, you can then trust the Lord as He enables you to deal with anything that may come up unexpectedly. It doesn't catch you off guard. You can flow right through it. Second reason, life is short. Not one of us are guaranteed the rest of the day. Not one of us. God knows exactly when He's going to require our soul. You see, redeeming the time means buying up the opportunity. You getting it? Taking advantage of it. Our English word opportunity comes from the Latin and means toward the port. Toward the port. It's speaking of a ship taking advantage of the wind and the tide to arrive safely in the harbor. The shortness of life is a strong argument for making the best use of the opportunities that God gives us. But here's a problem I see. Many times people get impatient and they will not wait on the Lord. And what happens? They end up being the cause and the reason why God delays opening the doors that they were expecting to go through. We end up delaying it by sticking our hands into it and not seeking the Lord. The third reason? The days are evil. How many of you know that? You all know that. In Paul's time, this meant that Roman persecution was on the way. Peter referred to it in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19. You see, it's foolishness to waste opportunities of winning the lost to Christ when soon those opportunities might be taken away because of sin or because we're out of God's will. We're out of God's will. The fourth reason? God has given us a mind. He has given us a mind. The word understand means to use our minds to first find out and then do the will of God. We find the will of God as He transforms the mind. This transformation is a result of, you ready for this? God's word, prayer, meditation, and worship. That's how your mind is transformed to find God's will. It means learning His will involves getting all the facts, examining them, weighing them out, and then praying for God's wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. People don't understand. God doesn't want us to only know His will. God wants us to understand His will. The fifth reason, God has planned for our lives. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. Here's the bottom line. If God saved us, then God has a purpose for our life. And we should find out what that purpose is and then guide our life accordingly. I mean, He reveals His plan through His word. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 10. He reveals through His Spirit in our hearts. Colossians 3, verse 15. He reveals through the working of circumstances. Romans 8:28. I love this scripture. And we know that all things, not some, not most, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. He reveals through the prayer counsel of others, the prayerful counsel of others. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You walk carefully and accurately because you know what God wants you to do, because you know that you're in his will. Here's the awesome thing about it. If you are in God's will, you will experience total peace with everyone involved, and you will be excited with what God is doing. That's how you know you're in God's will. Smack dab in the middle of his will. I want to close with something that Oswald Chambers said. He said, we need to remember that we cannot train ourselves to be Christians. We cannot discipline ourselves to be saints. We cannot bend ourselves to the will of God. We have to be broken to the will of God. We have to be broken to the will of God. It all comes down to having that walk in wisdom. We need wisdom, especially in these days. We know Christ is coming. We know that's the next major event on God's prophetic calendar. People are everywhere. I've got pastors asking me to come out and do a teaching on if we are in the Great Tribulation period. I can't tell you how many believers think we are in the Great Tribulation. They don't know the word. We're not going to see any part of the tribulation. Christ is coming for us before all hell breaks loose on this planet, because that hell is going to be God's judgment. And it's going to be horrific, and it's going to be severe and intense. Like never before, Jesus said, never again. Praise God, we're not going to be here for any part of that. But if we see the stage set like it is, how close are we? People, we need to be walking in wisdom. Because as Paul wrote 2,000 years ago to the Roman church, the day is at hand. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to teach us out of this book, the book of Ephesians. Father, I pray for all those that are listening to this teaching, God, that they would learn these things and that they would all be in your will. All be in your will, your perfect will, not your permissive will. We'll get in trouble with permissive will, but perfect will, we know that you'll have this and that you'll take care of it. And we will have that peace that passes all understanding. So, Father, go before us. Bless the rest of our day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.